Travelling Tunes with Dr. Kirsten Zemke.
Morena, Kirsten, how are you?
Morena, I'm good.
Oh, that is good to hear. What are we talking about on Travelling Tunes today?
So this is quite a large genre, I think larger than most people would imagine. This is instrumental hits of the 1960s. So for some reason, we're not super into instrumentals now, and probably for the last, 40 years or so, you wouldn't necessarily see instrumental songs in the charts.
Right. Yeah, I think that is definitely something. It's rare when you do see that have a big pop moment.
Yeah, and for some reason in the 60s, they were really popular, and there's a lot of them. Like, it was really hard to choose. And then, as you might recognize some of them, they carried on through being used in films. Mm. Tarantino is a big fan. And they just kind of stuck with us, but yet no one's, like, remade and decided let's recreate that phenomena. We like lyrics and words and singers to focus on.
I'm going to hit the first track, I reckon.
Okay.
What are we listening to here, Kirsten?
Okay. This is The Ventures, Walk, Don't Run. They love that phrase so much, it's the name of a documentary about them. It's the name of their album. And it's from 1960. And it went up to number 2, it was real popular. And here's the weird thing, it's a cover. Yeah, it was recorded twice before they even did it. And then, it gets even weirder. Because this was one of their biggest hits, they later through the years recorded a disco version and
a metal version. Oh, I would love to hear that.
I spared you from that. Yeah, so this was actually quite important in the evolution of the electric guitar.
Really?
Because back in the 1960s, we were still into songs and rock and roll songs. And so these guys are a musician's band. Like, their influence on punk and surf groups, a lot of other musicians like them. And they kind of semi-invented using fuzz and flange.
Really?
Guitar effects, yeah.
That's super interesting. And I think something that I just presumed had dated to earlier than this time, but it kind of was a new technology.
Yeah, like listening to the song, this is before surf rock, So you can hear how surf rock, really drew from this.
Totally. Because I think if I was going to listen to this with no context, I would have in my brain put it into a surf category. But it predates all of that and, as you say, influences it.
And it was even before you had sort of rock bands. These guys were, sort of influential in saying the actual rock bands with electric guitars. Now this one.
This is extremely famous.
So this is 1962, and this is a funny story too. So this was the house band for Stax Records, and so they played for all the acts coming out of there, Otis Redding, Wilson Pickett, and this is just a jam that the band did. These were studio musicians.
And I think it's interesting because it sounds like a jam song. Like, when you do hear it, you're like, yeah, this does...
True.
Essentially feel like people just being like having a good time playing with each other.
Yeah, that's true. And then who would have thought this would be, here we are 50 years later really enjoying it.
Yeah.
So why do you think they have such longevity, Kirsten? Because as you say, it's not a phenomenon we've seen maybe outside of the 60s of these tracks hitting the mainstream and the pop world with such a storm and then also surviving and still having such fame and notoriety.
I know. I think they're very colorful. They're like paintings, They don't have words. You don't have to, focus that part of your brain.
Yeah.
But they can just create this amazing color and picture without, say, interfering with your film or whatever else you're using it for.
They do have a needle drop kind of quality to it as well. If you do hear something like this in a film, it does help paint that time picture very well. Although maybe not this Booker T track, because this one almost has surpassed that a little bit. I think it's been used so much. But maybe The Ventures, that sounds so 60s.
Now, these guys, they love food names, so a lot of their songs were named, they used food titles. But Funky Onions is because it's just so nasty. It's dirty. That's how they wanted it called, Funky Onions. It was supposed to be called Nasty Onions, but people were worried that there must be some sort of rude double entendre in that, even though there's not. So they changed it to Funky Onions.
Got a few people texting in about the Hawaii Five-O theme being another kind of hit from this era that is essentially instrumental.
And that is like that painting too. It just gives you this wash of color and feeling, communicating without words.
And it's interesting because these are like undeniably catchy songs as well. Like there's no lyrics, but there are hooks.
And
there are repeated melodies.
They, because there's no lyrics, you can enjoy them globally. You know,
you
don't need to know the language. And so they were big hits at that time, especially like in Japan. And so young people around the globe at that time were, you know, embracing rock music and American music. And this was something, you know, they could definitely start to pick up quicker.
This is a classic. This is actually a BFM classic as well. I think I hear this on this station often.
Yeah.
That's so funny. Well, it's because most people probably wouldn't know the name of the band or the song. So this is The Meters with Sissy Strut. I don't know why they called it that, but C-I-S-S-Y? So is it? Maybe it's not the homophobic meaning, but this is from 1969. And these guys, apparently the song captures the New Orleans sound.
Right,
they're from New Orleans, and whatever was happening musically at the time. And these guys are considered, in this track, one of the co-founders of funk music. So James Brown is the godfather, but this at the same time is considered a huge influence.
This is one of those songs as well that's been sampled and reused very heavily. Is that something that is a hallmark of this kind of era as well? Are all of these songs regularly borrowed in that way, or is it just something that happens to be the case with a few of them?
Well, one of the important reasons they're sampled so much is because they were on vinyl, you know. And so there's copies of them around, and if you're, you know, wanting to play with something and there isn't lyrics interfering. And this song won Grammys, and the band's won Lifetime Achievement Awards. This is like in Rolling Stone's, you know, list of top 200 songs. And the reason the band broke up is because one of the band members in the 70s wanted to join a band with his brothers instead, the Neville Brothers.
Oh, true.
So, and they're iconic New Orleans too. So this, you know, this was one of the Neville Brothers in this song.
It is crazy how long these songs have been around and popular, and they still have such like a catch to them. Like this song, although you can hear that like influence of funk and influence on funk rather, and the way that it's kind of from a time and then influenced music that followed it, it still has a kind of contemporary feel to it because it's still so popular, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I don't know what's the secret of how they you know, I mean, it sounds a bit jammy too, like the last song, you know, they're just playing it. Oh, here's another weird thing. The bands, all three of these songs, the bands would use these as like their opening song, you know, like warm audiences
true,
up.
True, true.
So they get a lot of cranking out because of that, that you just play it as people come in or, so, you know, very useful. All you bands, you should have some instrumental tracks, I guess.
To warm the crowd up, exactly. Well, that was The Meters with Sissy Strut. We also listened to Booker T and the MGs. Now, is it Funky Onions or Green Onions, that track?
It's green onions.
Green onions. And then
it was supposed to be called funky onions.
Oh, right. I see. And
sorry,
then
I messed that up.
No, that's all right. And then before that, we had the Ventures with Walk, Don't Run. Three really great songs there. And we're getting quite a few texts in about it as well. Someone else says they really like the Wrecking Crew as well. They've got a similar sort of vibe about the 1960s instrumental thing. What a fascinating sort of period in time. And it's so interesting how long these tracks have lasted.
Yeah. They're iconic, and I think it's not something we expect from pop music, you know, to have this.
Absolutely. Well, where are we going next week on Traveling Tunes?
Well, you're going to hate me, but when you hear the songs, you're going to love me. we're gonna do the banjo.
The banjo. Okay, I'm all excited. Right. I'm ready. I'm ready for the polarizing.
Are you ready?
I'm ready for the polarizing action on that one. Hey, thanks, Kirsten. Have a lovely weekend. We'll talk to you next week.
Okay.
That was Traveling Tunes with Dr. Kirsten Zimpke.
Thank you.